Josh Herman, wealth building expert from BMO Harris. We've been busy this week with your team. Holy smokes, have we been busy.
I know.
Where are you? You are on five. I got to bring you up. Yeah, we've been extremely busy referring a ton of our listeners to you.
Which we appreciate.
And we're going to talk about a bunch of different scenarios that listeners don't even think about before they get into those scenarios where it's a lot more difficult to get out of or plan ahead, if you will.
Starting to see a lot of that. You know, love to talk about our home equities, where we got have a home equity promotion that's ending at the end of the month, maybe a little bit of business lending. And really, you know, listeners, I encourage the listeners to call in and ask any banking questions. Happy to assist.
After I open up my business line of credit off of my business that I own outside of the mortgage industry, I have a real estate investment company, a small investment company, nothing major. I got access to $96,000 in like 3 days. It was ridiculously quick, ridiculously easy. I'll probably never use that money for, you know, because I just don't have I'm not financing anything. But it's good to have that $96,000 available.
Absolutely.
And I'm at the 4th of July, Roy, listen to this, and Frank, because you both own your business. I'm there. My father-in-law is, you know, we're talking. He's like, hey, I got a friend. He's trying to open a restaurant. Right, he went for an SBA loan. He's in Los Angeles. You think building code here in Chicago is mishugi? Wait till you get to Los Angeles. Forget about it. Okay, twice the amount of people in Los Angeles, twice the amount of headaches. This guy's burning through money like crazy. He's got $4 million worth of receivables, and nobody will give him money. And he's burnt through his reserves. Yep. So I'm just like, hello, let's go. So he's waiting for his taxes. I introduce him to Prav over at the branch in Dundee across the street from my office. That's where we send everybody to, because I can walk across the street and figure things out if things go sideways on some transactions. But thank God they haven't. But these are the and there's another guy here that listens who was your client, right? The guy you put the lift in for, and then his wife passed away.
Oh, yeah, Ralph and Sonny. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So his son's got a business, needed money for materials so they could satisfy an order, and they didn't know where to go. I'm like, oh, business line of credit. You know. Yeah. So both of these individuals are getting your team and your staff over at the Dundee branch in Northbrook, off of Dundee and Landwehr in Northbrook, their business tax returns, and it'll go through like poop through a goose. It'll be simple.
We appreciate it. You know, we've helped hundreds of our listeners so far, year to date. It's been fantastic, and we see this a lot. You know, a lot of people right now are starting to rack up a significant amount of debt on their credit cards, and they're wondering what to do, because these rates are through the roof and no end in sight. You know, we're hoping towards the end of the year, but we'll see.
Line of credit, people living in a home with the 71% of Americans. I've been all over the radio talking about this on this show. Other show, 71% of Americans have mortgage interest rates under 3, 25, 26, 27%, whatever the number have. Of those 71% have the rates under 3.
Yep.
Okay, so, and they want to move into another home, but they don't have a down payment. A home equity line of credit.
Yep.
Okay, most of those individuals are keeping their home to rent their home because their mortgage payment's $3,000, let's say, with taxes and insurance, and they could get 6. And yes, they're going to go from a 2 or a 3 into a 6 or a 7, but you're going to use that 3 G's that you're making, okay, on your rental to offset the higher payment with the higher rate until the rates come down, whenever they come down, and you've tapped into the equity of your home with the line of credit. That's what our listeners
don't
understand.
That's a great point. You know, if you're looking to purchase a home, you know, in the next couple of years, you know, hopefully rates come back down, the market opens up a lot, so there'll be some inventory to choose from.
Yep.
But if you're positioned correctly, that you can come in and have a larger down payment than the next guy or lady, and you're gonna win.
Right.
At the end of the day,
we're gonna dive deeper.
Yeah.
Okay. We got Rainmaker here. We got Tonto over here. He does the rain dance.
I
think he's part Cherokee.
Right in time for your party.
Yeah. Right in time for my. Well, I'm gonna have him do the reverse dance, because if our listeners want to reach out to you, how do they reach out to you?
You can reach out Joshua.Herman, H-E-R-M-A-N-N, at BMO.com or 847-756-5512.
We teased at the beginning of the show, done a lot of stuff, a lot of business in the past 2 weeks.
Yep.
Different scenarios I want to throw at you for our listeners that don't even think about why they need to be ahead of certain things.
Absolutely.
Okay, we've got Chris from Mount Prospect. How do you go about purchasing a second home? Okay, another opportunity to take out a line of credit or some type of other financing if you don't have it but live in a home. Josh, we've got a caller on the line. Chris from Mount Prospect. Man, we're all over the place. Roselle, Lake Zurich, Mount Prospect.
It.
How are you, Chris?
I'm doing fine. How are you guys?
Good, buddy. You want to, it says here, how about how do you go about purchasing a second home? So I'm assuming that you own a home in Mount Prospect. Is that a safe assumption?
Yes, and a quick scenario is I've been listening to you on your radio program for a while, and you keep saying now is the time to get your house on the market. You've been saying that since spring, and I was going to do that and then purchase another house out of state.
Okay.
So I'm in the process of putting mine on the market, but it's not there yet. It's not ready. And I found a house that I'm interested in, and I was just wondering if it makes sense to do this a little backwards, where I buy the house maybe using the value that I have in my current house, and then after I move, putting the house up and selling the first house. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's called monetary masturbation. We talk about it all the time. So if you listen to the show that long, you know that I've stressed repeatedly to take out a line of credit, correct? You know how much I love line of credits. I talk about,
yes.
Do you have a line of credit on your home in Mount Prospect?
Not on the home in Mount Prospect. I do not have a line of credit currently. I did at one time, but then when I was thinking about selling it, I went and closed that. So do I need to like go out and open another one? Is that what you're saying?
Well, hang on. How much is your home in Mount Prospect?
Ballpark figures are $600,000, and I owe about $50,000 on it currently.
Oh God, that's amazingly great but bad at the same time. So you've got $550,000 worth of equity. It probably cost you close to, I don't know, 50 G's to get out with realtor's fees and tax prorations and title costs, something like that, right? So you got a ton of money locked up. How much do you have in checking and savings?
Right now I have about $4,000.
Okay. So you've got all your money tied up in the equity of your what happened there with my tongue? Yeah, 450.
We ask ourselves every day. $550,000
tied up in the equity of your home that you can't access because you don't have a vehicle to access it. Right, Josh?
That's correct.
Okay, so you now want to try to buy a new home. Where do you want to buy the home? What state?
Wisconsin.
How much are the homes in Wisconsin?
Let's say $400,000.
And how much are you looking to put down on the home in Wisconsin? All of the money out of Mount Prospect, or you want to run with the mortgage?
I can go either way, but obviously I'd prefer probably to put everything I get out of the house here.
Okay. Well, then play number one would have been, right, proper planning would have been to take out a line of credit up to 80% of the value of your house, which 6 times 8 is $480,000 minus $50,000. You could pull out a line of credit for $430,000 and buy the house in Wisconsin off the equity of your current home here in Illinois. That's what I would do.
Yep, and pay cash, and you get a better price, quicker closing,
less headaches,
more negotiate. You know, easier to negotiate.
And then when he sells the house, first thing to do, pay off the line of credit.
Well, it's not the first thing; it's what's going to happen when you sell the house.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay, that's what I mean.
Well, you got a lien against a property in Mount Prospect.
Right.
You got two liens.
Right.
Right. You would pay off the house. I would take a look at to see how much the $50,000 is costing you on a monthly basis. How long have you had that mortgage there, Chris?
Since 2005.
Okay, holy smoke. So what's the principal and interest on that?
Principal and interest on the mortgage only, not including the real estate taxes, is about $800.
Okay, you can knock that down to about $350 with the line of credit, right? So what I would do is because right now you don't care about, yes, you're paying a lot of principal down, and there are some people listening going, what are you doing that? You got 18 years of principal being paid down.
Right.
It's paying a bulk down. You're selling the home, folks.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're selling the home, right? It's trying to keep as much money in your pocket as possible. You got at least 5 to 10, 15 G's moving from Illinois to Wisconsin, okay?
Yeah.
The movers are not going to do it for free, and they're not working on $450 an hour. Okay, so to pack up your stuff in Illinois And if you're like me, you're now hiring people to move you. I'm done moving people. I'm 56 years old. I've moved thousands of people. I'm done, right? You, over there, put that in the back of your truck. Let's go. I'll order the pizzas and the beer and the sodas. Okay, let's go. I'll meet you at the other place. I'm hopping in my car with the air conditioner on. Have a nice day. I'll meet you there. Okay, so that's the way I roll. But I'm just saying, when you're moving here, Chris, right, the line of credit is the way to go. Okay?
Yeah.
The line of credit, that's why, listeners, you need to have a line of credit against your home so you have it for emergency and certain situations that you never thought you'd need them, like Chris buying a home. So Chris could basically pop a line of credit out. I would do it in first lien position. Do you understand my logic there, Chris? You're turning an $800 payment into a $300 payment. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
It's good advice.
All right. You're saving $500 a month. You can now finance another $80,000 on your line of credit. Okay? So you do that, you take the money out, you buy Wisconsin for cash, you sell it. Like Frank just says, what happens? You now have got one lien. I would pay off your existing loan with the line of credit. Sometimes you don't have to do it. You could tuck in behind it, okay? But in this case, since you're paying $900 on the first or $800, and the payment for the $50,000 is going to cost you $300, it's right. Better for you financially on a month-to-month basis until you sell your place. Now, the problem is, you can't get a line of credit when your house is on the market.
Exactly. And there are some additional penalties.
Prepayment
if you close
penalties.
It, right. If you close it within, you know, a couple of years, then there could be a prepayment penalty. But that outweighs getting a new mortgage on your existing property and taking that cash and using that cash as a down payment. Or, you know, I think it's going to significantly help you because you're coming into the new house, you know, potentially with buying as a cash buyer versus someone coming with an extremely low down payment.
And then the flip side is, Chris, when you get into that new house in Wisconsin and you sell your home in Mount Prospect and you pay off the line of credit, okay, you go back to that same bank and open up another line of credit on your Wisconsin house up to 80% of the value, so you have it there for other future investment opportunities.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. This is really helpful. I appreciate it.
Yeah. And one other aspect is that, you know, given where the rate environment is that if you're doing this now, we're hoping that rates are going to start coming down next year.
Yes.
So you keep the line of credit for it a little bit. You buy the new house, okay, and you're able to then wait a little bit, lock it up, and put a mortgage on the new house if needed.
Yeah.
Or a line of credit, depending on which direction, you know, and where the environment is at that time.
Whatever you want to do. But having the line of credit, this is a perfect example. If you go to BMO, right, if you put the house on the market before you take out the line of credit, Chris, you're not going to get the line of credit because no lender is going to do a loan against a house that's listed. Okay, so you got to do this beforehand. And if you close it down before 36 months, they're going to charge you a prepayment penalty. But the grand scheme of thing is the prepayment penalty is going to gain you access. I know we got to hit a break. If you say we got to hit a break, I'm going to come in there and throw a stapler at your head. So if you close it down, which obviously you will pay a penalty. Okay?
Right.
But that's the cost of doing business. And then what you should do, the right thing, is then thank them for the business by going to them after you close on your Wisconsin house to open up a new line of credit so you have it. That would be the right thing to do. Okay, Chris?
That's perfect. And they have a branch at where I'm looking to buy. So
don't do that. Go to Prov and my team in Northbrook. Trust me on this. Not that the other branches aren't good. And they're great, but we like to track the volume of what we're doing here on the show, and Prov is our go-to person, and I know that team over there, so hang tight. I'll get your phone number, and Josh will connect you as well. Okay, Mike? Chris? Mount Prospect? Chris?
All right.
Sorry.
That's all right. Thanks, I appreciate Chris. It. Thank you for having me on.
A couple of comments, Jeremy. I'm Josh. Rent, wait for drop, pay cash. So if you waited in 19 for it to go down in 20, you lost out. If you waited for 20 for 21 to go down, you missed that boat. If you waited for 21 for 22 for it to go down, you kind of got squashed. And if you waited in 22 for 23, you kind of got run over for the past 7 months of this year because the market hasn't slowed down yet. So we got that going for us. What is it cost annually to maintain the inactive real estate line of credit from 847?
$75.
$75 a year. Okay. 630. What is the name of the person I should speak to at BMO Northbrook for a line of credit? That would be Prov.
Correct.
Pravit
Yes.
Kapoor, I think yes, that's her name.
That's correct. She's the branch manager there. You know, you can reach out to me. We have conversations almost on a daily basis. She runs a team that specializes in managing all of WGN's
inflow.
Handles it terrifically. Runs a tight ship and moves very exponentially on all the requests.
And has me 100 yards away across the street. From Dundee.
And she's really, really great.
Not a good place to be.
And a lot has to do with, you know, it's not just the bank, it's who you're working with. We were talking about that kind of in the break, but, you know, a lot has to do with who your advisor is and who your banker is. You know, there's a lot of conversations with underwriting and a number of other things that if they don't know what they're doing, if they're not very experienced doing it, it might slow down the process or even result in a decline where you could potentially have an approval.
It's called relationship.
Yeah.
If you have a relationship with your banker and the team, I joke I'm 100 yards away. I'm literally 100 yards away across the street. But when there's a problem, they have a question about one of our radio listeners, I just run across the street and have the conversation and explain what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about.
And the one thing that really differentiates us than other banks is we're not selling anything. You know, we look at providing proper advice, good advice to our clients and showing them the differences between, you know, if you do this product or that product, how does this benefit you? And, you know, we're not pushy. It's how can we help you get to what your goals are and help you achieve those?
All right.
That's really what it is at the end of the day.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Spencer in Deerfield. Hey, Spencer, what's up, buddy?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. I've listened to you guys for years, usually driving around in the mornings doing my errands. So I thought I'd give you a call. You know, like a lot of people during the pandemic, we bought the big house and the big mortgage, got some kids in high school, and I've recently learned that there's a distant relative death in the family, and I'm supposed to be inheriting, you know, $500,000 or maybe a little more than that. And I'm just trying to figure out, what do I do? Do I pay down the mortgage? Do I set money aside for the kids in high school? Load up the 401k, trying to figure out how to coordinate the house with all this other stuff.
All right, quick question for you, then I'll throw it to Josh. How much do you owe on your house, and what's the rate?
I owe about $600 on the house. It's worth about $900, and I think the rate from a couple of years ago is like the mid-3s.
Okay. So you don't have enough money to pay it off. You've got a ridiculously great rate. You could probably earn more on other alternative investments than paying down your mortgage, because if you paid down your mortgage $500,000, you'd have to recast it, but you could probably put that money to better use elsewhere. Josh, your dime, your dance floor, your expertise.
Yeah, absolutely. First, I would start off with, you know, depending on – do you have a trust at all in place? Or just
I don't know what that is. I'm hearing that there's some – trust thing out of state that's holding up distributing all the money to these various family members, but I don't have anything like that.
So the money's in a trust that he's going to be inheriting.
Which we run into quite often. You know, typically I would say you would put a trust in place if you're over $4.5 million in net worth. So if that's the case, that's something we could definitely talk about. But you know, happy to sit down with you and look at all your financial aspects and come up with a plan. I mean, that's really what we were just talking about. You know, sitting down with our expert team to build a plan around, you know, what makes sense. Should we pay off should we put money, you know, X amount of money on the side for student loans? Do we have enough in our 401ks? How are we handling our debts? And I think really, you know, my team and I can put a plan together for you and better give you some proper advice and direction and guidance while doing that. And, you know, there's no cost in that. There's no, you know, no fees in doing that as far as that goes. Happy to do that. You know, we handle all aspects on our private bank team as far as managing your investments, helping with your trust and estate planning. I could always refer out some estate planning attorneys to you as well. You know, these are the things that we specialize in and try to help give you guidance on what the best strategy is with that inheritance money.
And you're literally in Deerfield about 10 to 12 minutes from the Northbrook branch that Josh can meet you at. Okay, bud?
It sounds fine.
All right, Klein, hang on 1 second. I'm sorry, Spencer, hang on 1 second, and we'll get you a Mr. Floor cleaning product, who's down the street as well in Skokie, and you'll connect with Spencer this week.
Sounds good.
All right.
Look forward. Thanks for calling in.
Phone number?
847-756-5512.
Didn't mean it to be a trick question.
No, I thought you were.
Phone number one more time.
847-756-5512.
Clean up some of these text messages. 847, Josh. I was a social worker from 1994 to 96 at an off-campus program through GBS-GBN at the old Naval Base. And yes, it was so cool watching the Blue Angels practice. Thanks for the memory. Well, at least the second half. I don't know what that means, but thanks for the memory. So there you go, Josh. We're bringing memories back to our listeners. That's what we do, buddy. 312-981-7200. I got a HELOC at 7.44. Interest rate, is that a good rate? Josh, your thoughts? It's below prime.
Yeah, that's a pretty decent rate. We do have some specials going on right now. Definitely check us out before the month ends. That might be able to beat that rate.
630, David, worked with our team 2021. We helped them refinance. They're very happy at 2.75. Good experience, great people. Thank you for the compliment. And a shout-out, same text, Josh. And a shout-out to Santos. Okay, I guess you have a gentleman or a lady by the name of Santos at BMO in Geneva.
Oh.
My wife and I just closed on a HELOC yesterday. The process was simple and straightforward. Another great experience. Thanks, folks. So that's from Santo in the 630. I would guess my team, we did is refinance, got them low rate, 2.75. You guys just closed on a HELOC.
Huh.
So that is great. Okay, we took care of all these text messages. Yeah, it's good when our listeners call with good things like that. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. That's the MegaPro's call, text, and photo line. We have Bert and Cherry Hill. Bert, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
What's going on, buddy?
I got a question. You were talking about using a HELOC to possibly purchase a new home or a condo or a townhouse. We would like to do that. We have a HELOC now, and it is with BMO, but it's a lot less than you said. I think you told a previous caller you could get something like 60 or 80% of the value of a home in a HELOC.
You go up to 85, but once you cross over 80, the rate goes up, right, Josh?
Correct. Correct.
Yeah. How much is your home worth?
Between 375 and 400.
All right. So say 400. So 80% is 320. What do you owe?
Nothing.
You owe nothing. Okay. So I thought you said you had a HELOC on there. How much is your HELOC now?
The HELOC's for $100,000, but and we only owe about $2,000 on it.
And how long have you had it open for?
We had to, redo the HELOC. The original one ran out after 10 years.
Right.
And then the revised HELOC was established in 2017.
Okay. It's real simple. Josh, what does he do?
Yeah, I would look at refinancing it and possibly increasing it if you potentially have larger needs in the future. Now, you know, there's one the only reason I can think of that maybe they didn't give you the maximum amount might be either a debt to income or a credit score situation is really why, you know, when we look at providing any kind of lending, we look at your affordability and the ability to repay, and that might be one reason, or the appraisal came in lower than expected.
Listener only wants a certain amount of money.
Exactly.
And doesn't max it out.
Yes.
Like I always recommend our listeners do, take it up to 80% of the value of your house.
I know.
How much income you got coming in there, Bert?
Retired, so it's the guaranteed income would be, you know, basically Social Security and a stipend from the Veterans Administration.
Okay.
And
you have any 401ks or IRAs or anything like that?
Oh yeah, we've got 401ks, not 401ks. We got IRAs and brokerage accounts.
How much you have in that total? Ballpark, 500, 400, 300, a million. How much you got in that account?
Almost $2 million.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay. Yeah. So you could use the $2 million
yep.
in addition to his income as assets.
We actually just, we were talking about that earlier today.
Right.
Another caller called in, and we, you know, I don't know if you provided that information at the time of application, but that's definitely something I would have a conversation with the banker with and show him all your assets, because all that gets included into your income rather than if you just showed, you know, just showed your yeah. Social Security. So, you know, we'll look at the whole picture and be able to you know, hopefully provide you a little bit more.
So the answer to your question, Bert, you should take out a new HELOC. You're past the prepayment period on your current HELOC. You should take it to 80% of the value of your home for one reason, because you can, and the closing costs will be zero. Okay, buddy?
Correct. In addition to that,
if it'd be zero?
Zero.
Your closing costs are zero. And in addition to that, if you qualify, maybe we could sit down and have a conversation, because private bank does offer a little bit discounts on some of the rates if you qualified and are with our private bank.
So we're going to put you on hold, Bert. Okay, we got a ton of callers coming in. Last hour of the show, of course, everybody wakes up and starts calling at the same time. So hang on for your Mr. Floor cleaning product of your choice. Well, Patrick will take down your information, and Josh will follow up after the show. Okay, buddy?
Thank you.
All right, man.
Thanks for calling, Bert.
What's going on, Sue? You're in El Paso.
Yeah, I've been doing other things. It's what? Not like I've been paying bills, vacuuming, and I hosed my patio off. Anyway.
Don't go there, David. Don't go
pain
there.
Of the deck.
I'll leave that right where it is there, Sue. We're not touching that. So you got a question about selling a second home, it says.
Yeah. It is, you know, I probably am going to clear about $300,000. I'm 77 years old. I do not want to deed it over to my kids, but I'm certainly willing to buy two properties, and each one can live in it or rent, you know. Can I do that? Can I buy two properties?
So you're selling an asset.
I sell a second, yeah.
Okay, so you've got a second home in your name. And
yes.
You're going to clear a lot of money, is what you're saying, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Are you then you want to buy two additional homes, one for each of your kids?
Well, yes.
To live in?
Mm-hmm. To live in.
Okay. Can your kids be on the mortgage with you when you buy those homes?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because then it would be their primary residence. You'd get a lower rate. Right, because you.
My thing though is I wouldn't have to necessarily take out a mortgage.
Okay.
I just don't want to pay one penny.
Okay.
Of income tax, you know, to the government.
All right, but burn it, burn it on the way out there, Sue. I understand. So, Josh, Sue is going to sell a second home, and she wants to buy two additional properties for cash, not have any mortgages that we just found out about.
Sure.
Your dime. I mean, this is your expertise.
You know, it's complicated. So there's a couple different directions you can go. One, you could do a 1031 exchange and roll that right into the other properties. I would speak to the accountant on in regards to if there's any capital gains tax selling the second home. I don't think there is, but I'm not 100% positive. I know on your first home you're limited up to $500,000,
right.
But I'm not sure about on a second home. So I would definitely bounce it off your accountant. If you are going to get penalized or have to pay tax on that, then I would look at potentially doing a 1031 exchange where you can buy, you can purchase a couple different properties
equal to or greater value.
Exactly, equal or greater value. You can't take any of the cash back out of it, but it would go roll directly into the properties, and you have a certain period of time to identify specific properties that you plan on rolling it into.
Maybe a two-unit, one lives in each unit.
Yeah, that actually would be an easier play than two separate homes.
All right.
You know, but that's definitely something that you have on the plate to do. Yeah.
Hang on.
Okay.
You're good, Sue?
I am good.
Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend in El Paso, Illinois. Dan and Joliet, you got a question for Josh Herman, BMO.
Yeah, how you doing? Quick scenario. How are the banks looking at people these days buying a house when they own their own company compared to if they work for somebody else? So I work for myself.
Great, great question. Really what it all comes down to is income and credit.
Yeah.
who you work for, if you own your own company.
How long?
How long. It really doesn't matter much. Yeah, yeah, you that part matters as far as the mortgage is concerned.
Yeah.
But as far as cash flow, it's really what you're showing you're making. And I would say if you're considering to buy a house and you're self-employed, you might want to, you know, take a look at how closely your debt service is and how much debt you have out there compared to what you're looking at purchasing, seeing what the monthly payments are, and then we can assist with, you know, giving you some kind of direction.
And making sure your credit is really, 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 really good.
Yes.
So that
my credit's very good, and I go through a payroll service to pay myself to keep everything on a W-2 on that end.
Perfect.
So documentation.
All right. So are you an S corp?
No. I'm an LLC.
You're an LLC, and you own more than 25% of the business, correct?
Yes.
All right. So you're considered self-employed. So just you're going to have to supply any lender 2 years worth of tax returns, or if you're a private banking client with Josh at BMO and you've got a lot of money there and it's less than 2 years, they'll take a look at the
assets. Yeah.
I mean, they'll take a look at the overall portfolio of assets you have under house.
Yeah.
Right?
We look at all income coming in and make a determination, how much you have to service debt. But that's really what it comes down to.
All right, Danny.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks.
All right. Phone number if people want to reach out to you, Josh.
847-756-5512.